From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138, a psalm of David's testimony to the Lord's gracious provision. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 111 and verse 9. He hath commanded his covenant forever. The Lord's people delight in the covenant itself. It is an unfailing source of consolation to them, so often as the Holy Spirit leads them into its banqueting house and waves its banner of love. They delight to contemplate the antiquity of that covenant, remembering that before the day star knew its place or planets ran their round, the interests of the saints were made secure in Christ Jesus. It is peculiarly pleasing to them to remember the sureness of the covenant while meditating upon the sure mercies of David. They delight to celebrate it as signed and sealed and ratified, in all things ordered well. It often makes their hearts dilate with joy to think of its immutability, as a covenant which neither time nor eternity, life nor death, shall ever be able to violate, a covenant as old as eternity and as everlasting as the rock of ages. They rejoice also to feast upon the fullness of this covenant, for they see in it all things provided for them. God is their portion, Christ their companion, the Spirit their comforter, earth their lodge, and heaven their home. They see in it an inheritance reserved and entailed to every soul possessing an interest in its ancient and eternal deed of gift. Their eyes sparkled when they saw it as a treasure trove in the Bible. But oh, how their souls were gladdened when they saw in the last will and testament of their divine kinsman that it was bequeathed to them. More especially, it is the pleasure of God's people to contemplate the graciousness of this covenant. They see that the law was made void because it was a covenant of works and depended upon merit. But this they perceive to be enduring because grace is the basis, grace the condition, grace the strain, grace the bulwark, grace the foundation, grace the topstone. The covenant is a treasury of wealth, a granary of food, a fountain of life, a storehouse of salvation, a charter of peace, and a haven of joy.
Have you not known, have you not heard, God's glory makes on high, established by his mighty hand to form the earth and sky. Trace the work he of his hand.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Each CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled 100% Christians, part of a new series based on Psalm 138. In the course of the next number of weeks, he will expound each verse of the psalm in individual messages. This week's text is the opening phrase of verse 1, "I will praise thee with my whole heart." As Dr. Cairns is emphasizing, this wholehearted commitment to God is entirely contrary to a surface religion that looks genuine on the outside, but lacks a true love for the Lord and obedience to His Word. This kind of wholehearted devotion and obedience comes from spending time with the Lord in the Scriptures and in earnest prayer. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Every child of Adam is by nature a hypocrite. That's a battle we all have to fight constantly. And very often in ourselves, we find ourselves able to use the great swelling words, words that express true devotion, words that speak of deep experience. But all the time, they are merely covering an empty heart. Paul used some words in Romans 9 that are never too far away from my mind. And I think that in every profession we make before God or before men, we should be able to use Paul's affirmation, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." Empty profession, swelling words with no reality to them, putting on a good front, looking holy to the world, but with a heart that's given over to covetousness or some other sin. Empty profession is the curse of Christians and Christian churches. It's unworthy of the Lord. Takes no notice of the gospel. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Paul tells us. And certainly, people who are worshiping with a cold heart, people who are serving more themselves than the Lord, are not exercising or expressing faith in Christ. It's unworthy of the Lord. It's certainly unhealthy for us. Every Christian will know exactly what I mean when I say, when you make great statements, when you sing some hymns like we have been singing this morning, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the follies of sin I resign," and then you turn back to the swine trough. It makes you feel like a hypocrite. And well, it may. Leaves you feeling empty and frustrated. It opens you up to the accusation and the attack of the devil. It hardens your heart, your conscience against God. It's unhealthy. And it's also, of course, undermining to our testimony before the lost. So, David vowed, therefore, to worship the Lord and serve the Lord with all his heart, with his whole heart. In other words, keeping in mind what he believed and what he had received from the Lord, he gave himself to the worship and the service of the Lord with his whole heart. That is, with the concentration of his mind. He actually took time to think. I don't mean to be sarcastic, but that's almost the last thing that preachers ask their people to do nowadays. So many people want to be spoon-fed. We live in a world of the soundbite. The great news events of the day have to be encapsulated in stupid little soundbites. And that's how Christians now want their theology. Don't ask us to think. Well, let me tell you, unless you're willing to think, your heart will not be entirely engaged with the Lord. He was certainly worshiping with the love and the feelings and the desires of his heart and with the full purpose of his will. I will worship. I will praise. I will thank. I will serve with my whole heart. This was the controlling principle of the psalmist's life. He loved the Lord. He praised the Lord. He served the Lord. And he sought to do everything in every area of his life in the light of that commitment to him. Now, it's easy for you and me to go and point in the life of David where he did this wrong and that wrong and the other thing wrong. He wasn't perfect. Far from it. But nonetheless, in this, there is the sincere expression of a soul in every area of my life. I want to serve the Lord with all I am and all I have in every sphere, as king, as the ruler of this great nation, as a leader in its worship, in the political realm. I want to serve the Lord. When I go back to my home, there's a beautiful, beautiful statement about David after leading the whole nation in public worship and back to the ark of God. Then, having feasted with the people in the things of God, we have this beautiful statement that David returned to bless his own house. You see, in that sphere also, I'll worship the Lord with my whole heart. I will wholeheartedly give myself to God in the political realm, in the public realm, in the private and personal realm, in the family realm, everywhere. This is the controlling principle. This is what must dictate your relationships and mine. Praising God, worshiping God with the whole heart. This is where we draw the line of separation. I'm a separatist by conviction. I hate apostasy with a holy hatred. I pray against the Church of Rome and pray that God will rise up to destroy its evil and vicious influence. I pray against the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches, and those that are selling out the gospel. I pray against the new evangelical compromisers who want me to believe that they're standing for God while all the time they are selling out the gospel by their compromise. I'm against them. But so often, this line of separation is said to be, this is the constant criticism, an expression of bitterness, of small-mindedness. I have to confess that there's many a professed separatist that gives plenty of ammunition to people who want to make that accusation. I know separatists who would separate from themselves if they could. I was reading a great statement. I haven't seen the original context. Well, should I say I didn't hear the original context? So it could be an inflection of the voice would have given the true meaning. But I was reading in the Reverend Stanley Barge's home a book that kept me laughing for hours. Foolish Words, it's called. And one of the statements was one by our current president, Mr. Bush, in which he said, I have opinions, and I hold them very strongly. I just don't always agree with them. Now, the them in spoken word might have referred to somebody else, but as it came out, it appeared to say, I have opinions and I hold them strongly, but I don't always agree with them. But whether we can criticize the president for actually making that boo-boo or not, I don't know. There are certainly preachers, and you would think that's where they stand, that fight with anybody. They seem to love to fight for the sake of fighting. But that's not true separation. What leads to separation is a wholehearted, entire, 100% unconditional commitment to Christ. That's the line of separation. In Hebrews 13, let us go forth therefore unto Him. Where Jesus is, that's where I want to be. 100%. That's where I want this church to be. 100%. That draws the line of our separation. We are to worship and to serve Him with the whole heart. Now, that's simply what it means. Let me make this comment, that this wholeheartedness is what the Lord desires of us. You remember the first and great commandment of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 6, quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment of the law. The words of Proverbs 23:26 are certainly applicable. If we put them in the mouth of our God toward each one of His children, He says, my son, give me thine heart. Paul told servants or slaves in his day what they were to do and how they were to live. How much more is it applicable to us to serve, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart? Moses asks, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? In Deuteronomy 10 and 12. What does God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, men and women, that's simple. At least to understand. That's what God requires. That's the desire, the yearning, and the command of God to all His people. 100% for Christ. That's what He's calling for. Let me make this remark, that that's what the Lord deserves.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.